This is Popular Front, a podcast focused on the niche details of modern warfare and underreported conflict with me, Jake Hanrahan. Today we're speaking to journalist Sebastian Bourdon. He's going to be talking to us about his time spent within the militant anti-fascist movements in France. He spent a lot of time talking to them, reporting from various different groups, and he's going to explain to us how anti-fascist action in France has become more consolidated and more organized since the killing of Clément Méric 10 years ago this June. If you like what we're doing here at Popular Front and you want to see it keep moving forward, support us at patreon.com/popularfront. You've written this book, right? It's coming out soon. It's about how the anti-fa movement in France kind of changed and was brought into the limelight, if you like, in France after the brutal murder of Clément Méric. If you can, let's start off by kind of going back a decade to when that happened and maybe explain, you know, what it was like before then and how that death really changed things up until now.
So Clément was killed in 2013, but I guess to understand what the whole history, we have to go back in time a bit more. Clément Méric was a member of a group called Action Antifasciste Paris Banlieue, so like anti-fascist action Paris and banlieue, so suburbs. And this group was founded in the late 2000s in Paris. It was at first a very quite a small group that was quite new in its approach of anti-fascism, because anti-fascism over the 80s, 90s in France was very linked to various subcultures, such as the punk scene, some Redskins, and all that. Mm-hmm. And what was new about the Action Antifasciste Paris Banlieue is that they were very inspired by this anti-fascist action, the label, which actually came from Germany, and its link with the whole autonomous culture from Germany. And by bringing this label to France and its whole culture, they actually made quite a big change and renewal into the anti-fascist scene, which at that time in the late 2000s was not that active anymore in France. And they started to bring together militants from very different backgrounds all together into this this anti-fascist movement, anti-fascist group, which at that time was mostly focused in actually like street activism. So basically what they also often call tenir la rue, which is like holding the streets against the far right. And what's also very important to understand is the background of the late 2000s in Paris. And it's actually what was going on around the PSG, Paris's football club. And in the late 2000s, ultras group from the PSG, two groups, one named Tribune, one regrouped around the Tribune Boulogne and the other one against the Tribune Auteuil, so two various sides of the stadium in Paris, were actually fighting each other. So they were supporting the very same football club, but they were fighting against each other. It's a very complex and long story, but basically, if we put it in very simple terms, the Tribune Boulogne was basically more nationalist, was mostly made up of white guys, and some of them were very active and actively linked to like far right militant groups, whereas the Tribune Auteuil was way more diverse culturally and was, to put it in simple terms, quite anti-racist, I guess. So supporters from both groups were fighting each other very, very often, up until 2010, when a guy from the Tribune Boulogne was killed in one of the clashes. And at that time, the government and the owners of the PSG actually disbanded all these groups of ultra supporters, and it changed a lot the political scene in Paris. And what happened is that quite a bunch of young lads from the Tribune Auteuil, so quite many of them being non-white, coming from like popular backgrounds and all that, they couldn't fight against basically the racists that they were fighting against in around the stadium anymore. So they actually began to join the Action Antifasciste Paris Banlieue, and because they some of them at least wanted to basically pursue their fight against racist militants, and became, I guess, more political than what they were doing before around their stadium. And at the same time, some other guys from the far right and from the Tribune Boulogne actually joined far right militant groups in Paris. So this was very important in the early years of the Action Antifasciste Paris Banlieue, and this is when they started to evolve into like very like a new breed, I guess, of anti-fascism. And this brings us up to 2013, when Clément Méric, so he was a young guy, he was 18, and he was a young militant who had joined, who had came to Paris in September 2012. He was actually, he used to live in Brest in Brittany, and he came to Paris for his studies, and he joined the Action Antifasciste Paris Banlieue group. He was also linked to a trade union called Solidaire Étudiant. And in 2013, in June 2013, a group of anti-fascist militants and a group of neo-Nazi skinheads basically just ran into each other randomly at sales from the Fred Perry brand in Paris. So the two groups basically, I mean, started to like provoke each other. Then the anti-fascists went outside and went, I mean, moved a bit further from the place where the thing was happening. Both groups called some of their friends. And then when the neo-Nazi skinheads went out of the building, they went towards the group of anti-fascist militants. A fight broke out, and this young guy, Clément Méric, was killed in the fight. And suddenly in France and in the media, it became this like massive thing of like a young kid who was 18, who was a student at Sciences Po Paris, which is like a very renowned university in Paris, was killed by like actual neo-Nazis in the streets because of his beliefs and because of because he stood for his ideas and anti-fascist ideas. And suddenly there was this huge wave in the media with this figure of the Antifa, which was never really used before, I guess, at least in France and in the like public sphere, became like this huge thing with the president, the prime minister at the time, also making speeches about how like anti-fascism is super important, whereas explaining that it's very linked to the values of the French Republic and all of that. And this group of the Action Antifasciste Paris Banlieue, of course, most of them were also very young. They were very shocked that one of their militant, one of their friends, was killed. And suddenly there was like so much attention brought to them because of this event. And that's when they really began to take importance and to like spread their ideas and actually went public, whereas before no one knew about them beforehand. And that was really like a very important moment in the history of anti-fascism in France. And it's when the figure of the Antifa appeared in public. The thing then is that in the following years, if we go through them quickly, in like 2014, 2015, there were various social movements, various protests going on in France. And this young group of the Action Antifasciste Paris Banlieue, who had suddenly gained quite a lot of importance, started to become more and more active and actually was very important in some of these social movements. I can at least mention two of them. In 2014, the Israeli army was, there was an attack against the Gaza Strip in Palestine, and there were a lot of protests and actually riots in Paris in support of Palestine. And the anti-fascist, Action Antifasciste Paris Banlieue was actually very active in these protests, both fighting the police, but also fighting far-right groups that were taking part and at least trying to take part in these protests in solidarity with Palestine. And then if we go a bit forward and around the summer 2015, there was this Loi Travail project in France, which was basically a reform brought by the government to I mean, if we put it simply, a very like liberal reform. And again, there were like huge protests all over France, all over Paris. And again, the Action Antifasciste Paris Banlieue, amongst other groups, of course, they weren't the only ones, but they were also very active in these protests. And what was new about these protests and this social movement was a phenomenon that used to be called the cortège de tête. So it's like the head team, I guess. I don't know how to actually properly translate it, but basically, whereas traditional protests in France, you'd have various trade unions walking alongside each other. What was new about this movement against the loi travail is that many protesters from very different background and that were not like directly linked to any like political party, to any like trade unions, starting to gather together in front of the protests and started quite often to actually clash with the police, started to attack banks and various like various shops and all of that. So the level of confrontation was very high, very intense. It was like this, and there was this whole I guess I'd say hysteria in a way, and especially in the media and in the political sphere, about like, oh, these black blocs, all these rioters like coming to the protests to actually fight with the police and break shops and all of that. And so the anti-fascist movement broadly was quite involved in this whole process, both in Paris but also elsewhere in France. And during this movement, there was again one very important event, which is what's called the L'Affaire du Quai de Valmy. So the Quai de Valmy is somewhere in Paris. And basically, during a protest, a police car was burned down, and the policemen who were inside it were attacked. They managed to get out of this whole situation, but the images were everywhere of this police car being burned down. And in the like following day, several arrests were made, The most of the first guys that were arrested and supposedly linked to this whole event were actually anti-fascist militants, and were actually militants from the Action Antifasciste Paris Banlieue. So basically, you have two events, death of Clément Méric and the Affaire du Quai de Valmy, which were only apart from like a few years apart, which really brought together this whole image of the Antifa in the public sphere, in the media, and draw basically a line from which this figure of the Antifa, which was at first described as Clément Méric was portrayed in the media as like this young lad, again, he was 18 years old, very intelligent, going to like a well-known university, very like, I guess, depicted, he was depicted in like quite naive way, like having these like anti-racist, anti-fascist beliefs, opinions, but being quite naive about them because he thought that as like a young adult, he could fight against Nazis and all that, and he got killed because of it. So at first, this in 2013, this is how the figure of the Antifa was actually depicted in the media. And by 2016, when the Affaire du Quai de Valmy happened, and this whole movement against the loi de travail, the figure of the Antifa had completely changed, and the whole discourse about anti-fascist militants in France had completely changed and shifted into this this very, again, also fantasized in a very different way, but image of anti-fascist militants being very violent people, being like very involved in the riots, wanting to kill cops and all of that. So I guess that's two very like key moments and key dates to actually understand how the anti-fascist movement in France, at least in the recent years, and the whole figure of the Antifa in the public discourse has emerged and has evolved over time.
Right.
And would you say then that, like, after the death of Clément Méric, things became more organized? Because before, as you said, there was a very strong anti-fascist movement in France, but it was very underground between this one and that one. It wasn't like it was spilling out onto the streets every weekend or anything like that. Perhaps it was for the people involved, but like you said, it wasn't really catching the attention of the public, as it were. Then all of a sudden it's on TV. Now, in some countries, in some ways, that could actually dilute a movement and get loads of like hangers-on that, you know, just see it as a trend. We saw a lot of that happen in America. But from the outside looking in, I've always seen the French anti-fascists as some of the most militant, some of the most well-organized. I don't know if that's correct or not, but would you say it kind of got more organized and more militant since Clément Méric's death?
I would say so. If you actually do compare like the recent years to the late 2000s, but the thing is, before the Action Antifasciste Paris Banlieue emerged, and it really, they were created again in the late 2000s, but really became known and became like a bigger group after the death of Clément Méric. There were, of course, other anti-fascist groups active in France over the last decades, but in the late 2000s. The anti-fascist movement as a whole in France was not that big anymore. It didn't had any or a lot of public attention, but it wasn't also very active anymore. In the 80s and the 90s, there were like various phases, various groups. In 1984, one that became quite known was the SCALP. So it was the acronym of the Section Carrément Anti-Le Pen. They were like basically there were like dozens of groups and working on a quite loose network all across France, very linked to subcultures, to various subcultures. Then there were also the quite famous and also infamous chasseurs de skin, so like skinhead hunters, groups that emerged in the late 80s in Paris and elsewhere in France. But the scene had evolved a lot in the 90s. It started to decline, and it really declined also after 2002, when Jean-Marie Le Pen, who was the leader of the Front National, so the main far right political party in France, he reached the second term of the second round of the presidential election in 2002. And what's quite interesting is that this event, at the same time, there was, of course, this huge outburst of this huge opposition against the fact that he had reached this second round of the presidential election. There were like the massive demonstrations across France, and he lost by a lot the second round. But at the same time, it also marked basically not the end, but the anti-fascist scene that was already quite in decline in the late 90s and early 2000s, basically, I'd say, nearly disappeared after 2002. Then there was a small group new groups called RASH, so Red Anarchist Skinheads, that emerged again in the early 2000s. They were quite militant, but they were also quite small. And these groups, again, were in decline by the late 2000s. When the Action Antifasciste Paris Banlieue and other groups of this same tendency started to appear. So the death of Clément Méric definitely was quite a big event in making the whole anti-fascist movement, anti-fascist scene more organized. But I guess that's if you do compare it to how it was in the late 2000s. It's hard to say whether or not it's actually, since the death of Clément Méric, whether or not it's bigger than what it used to be, in the 80s or so. I guess it's very, very different periods, very different phases. With the far right, whether if you look at like political parties or at like activist groups, evolved a lot too. So the stakes are not really the same.
So what's the situation now with the Antifa groups in France? The last time I really saw a lot of action from them was when anti-fascist yellow vest protesters were fighting with fascist yellow vest protesters. Like, you would see footage of the two guys attacking each other, and then it would find out, oh, it was, you know, like a fucking Nazi skinhead bumped into an anti-fascist skinhead, and then the group started fighting. And then also there was like, I remember seeing footage where I think the Nazi guys were attacking like the pub of an anti-fascist group, and then the anti-fascists would attack the pub of the Nazi guys. And I know there's still like various Antifa and fascist groups within the football hooliganism scene in France, but where would you say it's at right now? Is it still like a strong, coherent movement, or, you know, is it very much still a kind of street thing underground, or what?
So I'd say that the last like major phase was actually the one I mentioned around the Affaire du Quai de Valmy and the whole Loi Travail protest and social movement in 2016. The Yellow Vest movement was interesting and important, but it's also, I mean, I think something that's actually more important to actually understand how the anti-fascist scene has evolved and what it's like now in France is actually the fact that in 2018, a new group was created, first in Lyon. And Lyon at the time and still today is one of the cities in France where the far right is militant far right groups are the most important, where they have they actually have some of their headquarters and all that, and where they're the most active. And in 2018 there was this new group in Lyon that was created that's called La Jeune Garde.
What's that in English, sorry?
The young guard.
The Young Guard, got you.
And at first they were created to actually basically oppose the far right groups in the street. So they had also like a very like activist perspective, I guess, at first. And at first they were also quite successful in actually like fighting against like local far right groups. But what was quite new about this Jeune Garde and the way they've evolved since then is that whereas the Action Fasciste Paris Banlieue and other groups from this same tendency all across France kept this sort of like underground identity, they're very closed groups, they don't communicate that much, they're quite secretive, they're usually actually quite small groups. The Jeune Garde has tried to really, I mean, they say they're trying to popularize anti-fascism and bring like some sort of renewal. And what they've done, which is quite new, is they actually try to build strong ties with other like left-wing political parties, but also trade unions, various like NGOs and all of that.
Smart.
And it's I mean, as they put it, it's more like a like class-oriented perspective, I guess. Mm-hmm. So they kept saying they're trying to do this unitary work and work with other organizations and all that, which is very, very, I mean, going basically the opposite way as of what the Action Antifasciste and this whole like Mouvement Antifasciste Autonome has been going and had been going since the early 2010, and especially since the death of Clément Méric. So since 2018, this new group emerged, first in Lyon, and now they have other branches in other cities. They now have five different groups. They're in Lyon, Paris, Lille, Strasbourg, and Montpellier. They have, in a way, had some success in bringing forward anti-fascist ideas and they've been quite active in the media. And all of that, taking part in many, many different protests, but it's basically a whole new branch of anti-fascism that has emerged. And of course, this has not been going well all the time. And there actually have been some tensions and quite some rivalry in various cities in between groups linked to the Jeune Garde and other groups, either in Paris, the Action Antifasciste Paris Banlieue, or other groups in France, such as La Galle, which was used to be, I mean, they're still active, they're another anti-fascist group active in Lyon.
Are you telling me there's leftist infighting?
Yes, there is.
I'm shocked.
And the thing is, basically around last summer, so summer 2022, in Lyon, there was Apparently, there was a fight opposing militants from La Galle and militants from the Jeune Garde. So both militants from the two anti-fascist groups actually fought against each other. And this had repercussions all across France. So then there were issues in Paris and elsewhere and all that. And thing is, of course, it's a mix of political opposition, but also like personal stupid stories, I guess, in at least partly. But the fact that these two tendencies now in sort of like oppose each other also tells a lot about how different their perspective about anti-fascism is, and also their perspective about what fascism is, how different they are. And whereas the Action Antifasciste and the whole scene, the whole Mouvement Antifasciste Autonome has been about is, since because of its history and since of its creation, it's this whole idea that the far right, and I mean that being anti-fascist is not only opposing the far right as political parties or militant groups, but that anti-fascism, at least in how they view it, is actually broader and should also include various other issues, such as, for instance, the question of police brutality and other liberal laws and all of that. Whereas the Jeune Garde, their conception of fascism and anti-fascism is way more focused on actually opposing the far right itself, the far right as like political parties and militant groups. So there's also this whole, like, I guess, nearly philosophical or at least like a political matter and question about how they actually view anti-fascism and fascism, which difference makes quite a big difference. And this difference is also mirrored and has been mirrored recently, even in the last few weeks. Now there's this new social movement going on in France against this reform about like pensions. And the way both autonomous anti-fascist groups and the Jeune Garde groups take part in protests is actually very different, and mirrors mirrors their different perspective. As I've said, the Action Antifasciste was very active in this Cortège de Tête in 2016, and other groups elsewhere in France were active in this whole phenomenon. And of course, this whole phenomenon was not viewed in a very was not viewed very positively by trade unions, and there were actually fights in 2016, at least in different cities, opposing protesters that were taking part in the Cortège de Tête, and some of them being anti-fascist militants, and the security services of several trade unions. And the thing now is that in the recent protests and in the recent years, the Action Antifasciste and other groups have kept protesting in the same way, so they still take part in various radical actions. They do struggle with the police if they need to and all of that. Whereas the Jeune Garde has been closely linked to trade unions and sometimes even actually taking part in their own security services. It's basically this, I guess, the protests, and you know that in France we do have quite a habit of protesting. The way these two currents of anti-fascism take part in protests, I guess, says quite a lot in their beliefs and how they see other organizations, how they see other groups on a like broader way, I guess.
Interesting. I mean, yeah, the protests. I mean, I hate to say it as a Brit, but I really admire the French and the way that you lot will not have it. Like, if your government fucks around, you know, you go out onto the street. The recent protests, there were like a million people out there on the streets in Paris and various other places. Whereas if you look at my country, I mean, our government can get away with absolutely anything and no one gives a shit. You know, like, no one gives a fuck. People, they do care, but they just will not do anything. You know, it's really sad. But at least you guys still have that protest movement. So I know other French friends that are like laugh about it, but I think it's great. You know, I think even if nothing comes from it, you have to at least show that you know, that's not just going to run. But it sounds to me like this young guard group, they sound a lot more, I don't want to say like more ideologically driven, but they seem to have thought things out a little bit better, maybe, or a little bit more in terms of, you know, what they stand for, what they believe in, the alliances they make. Are they, would you say, one of the most popular anti-fascist groups now?
Not really. I mean,
really, no.
So the thing is at first they gained quite a lot of attention, and I think they managed to actually bring quite a bunch of like new people, new recruits into like anti-fascist militancy. But they're also very, very, very criticized for various reasons. But one of them is their leader, at least their like spokesperson, who's like the most, who's basically the one doing interviews for them most of the time. He's a young guy called Raphaël Arnaud, and I'd say many people in the rest of the anti-fascist movement really despise him and accuse him of doing this whole thing for his like own political career. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, last year there were these elections for the National Assembly in France, and he actually presented himself as a candidate to become a deputy in Lyon. So he lost. But I guess for the rest of the movement, it was basically showed that the fact that he had this like own personal goals, and the fact that the Jeune Garde is really not as radical as they like sort of pretend to be, and the fact that they are in fact very, I mean, they're quite a like basic leftist organization.
As entryists, is it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And to be fair, of course, it's the what the Jeune Garde has done over the last years is very interesting in the way it has modified, I guess, the whole anti-fascist scene in France. But if you do look at what they do and the various organizations and groups and all of that they work with, it's like they're pretty much like any other like just young leftist organization. There's nothing that new about them and about what they say and about their perspective on anti-fascism. The thing is, recently at several protests, they've started working hand-to-hand with a group called SOS Racisme, which used to be quite a large anti-racist organization in France. It's not as big as it is as it used to be now, but it used to be also very linked to the Parti Socialiste, so the Socialist Party, which is this like now left liberal political party in France, and in many ways, the Jeune Garde now is being criticized for all these alliances they're making with people who really are not that radical and who really, I guess, have a like very limited anti-fascist perspective, or at least anti-racist perspective. So I guess that's one of the things. The other thing, the other reason why the Jeune Garde is also very criticized, and I've heard also, I've met militants both from the Jeune Garde, both from many other groups for this book I've written on the matter, but apparently the way the Jeune Garde works, the structure, the way they work is super, super tightly controlled. And their critics say that basically Raphaël Arnaud, so this spokesperson, and another guy whose name is Shafak, who's their like official leader, basically they're being accused of like controlling absolutely everything within the organization in like almost like a very like Leninist way. And the fact is, as myself as a journalist, I've met many I've interviewed quite a bunch of militants from the Jeune Garde, but the only militants I've been able to interview were actually cadres from the organization, and I've asked many times to actually meet like I guess like random militants and like newcomers and all of that. And the leaders like actually always said no. So like I wasn't actually able to interview anyone that didn't hold any like specific position, specific role within the organization. Whereas in other groups, at least from my perspective and from my experience, they have been way more open to actually letting me meet all of their militants, or at least way more and way more diverse profiles. So they're also being basically criticized for having like very tight control, exercising very tight control on their militants, and I guess working in sort of like Leninist way, which is perceived quite badly by other anti-fascist groups.
Yeah, surprise. In terms of the kind of the street fighters, the militants, the ones that you spoke with, what was their kind of attitude towards this all now? Because of course, far right attitudes and far right politics is still very big in France. We saw Le Pen come in very popular, I think last year or the year before, I don't know, time flies. But yeah, what was the kind of perspective from the actual militants, the people that are actually in the street fighting with the far right?
So the thing is, fighting and violence actually is not that common for all of the anti-fascist militants I've met. I've conducted more than 70 interviews all across France with like dozens of militants from dozens of different anti-fascist groups, various factions, I'd say, some more linked to the Action Fasciste tradition, others from the Jeune Garde, others from like smaller cities that are not really aligned with either sides, I guess. And quite a common thing that I've noticed is that, I wasn't really surprised about it, but there's this whole discourse about anti-fascism and anti-fascist militants being like street fighters and all of that. And the fact is, it's actually quite rare for them to actually fight against far-right militants. Basically, just simply because it's actually hard to encounter far-right, for anti-fascist militants to encounter far-right militants in such a big city as like Paris or Lille or Strasbourg and all of that. So a quite common activity that most anti-fascist groups go through is what they call mobs. So it's basically they just regroup. It's like a small group going from five people to I guess a few dozens. They gather at night usually, and they go around a neighborhood and roam around trying to find like far-right militants. The thing is, it's actually quite rare for them to find anyone, and even when they do spot like far-right militants, either like one guy or like a group, it's quite rare that fights do occur, because either one group would just run away because they're like they have less people in their ranks, or maybe they're like security cameras around, so they all know that if they do fight, they'll be in like big trouble and all that. So violence, although it plays and holds like a central position in what like the media and the whole image, I guess, we all have about like what anti-fascism militancy is about, is actually not that common. That being said, I can't actually think of any like very recent like fights that occurred like over the last month or months, a few months, opposing far-right militants and anti-fascist militants. So the situation now is not, it's quite calm, I'd say. It's the far right is definitely, and the like militant groups on the far right are definitely growing in number in France over the last few years. There are like many new groups have been formed. There's also this tendency various far right groups to actually start working together in a more like more united way. So this is quite interesting and might lead to shifts in the near future. But so far, I'd say for the last few months and maybe a few years, not that much has been going on in terms of like actual fights opposing anti-fascist groups to far right groups. Of course, there have been several attacks over the last few years, but not actual like big clashes, I'd say. It's actually quite calm at the moment.
Interesting. Why do you think that is then? Is it just, I don't know, it's fallen out of fashion or what? Because I do remember like things seemed very Don't know. They always seem very active over there now. Now it's, if it's not like that, you know, I mean, why do you think that is? I mean, it's what, a decade since Clément Méric was killed. I believe his, one of his killers is actually out of prison now. I think both of them are. Yeah. Why do you think it's kind of calmed down a little bit now?
I mean, I think it really has to do with the background. The thing is that the last time it was like very, very active with like clashes going on basically every single week was during the Yellow Vest protests. And this was simply because of the fact that there were like Yellow Vest protests going on every single week, and that both anti-fascist groups and far-right groups were attending these protests. So like every single week there was like basically this meeting for both sides to go to and for both sides to meet and to actually fight against each other. The thing is, since the Yellow Vest protest, there hasn't really been any major social movement in France. I mean, there has been some social movements, but not as big as the Yellow Vest or as big as the Loi Travail. There's this new one emerging right now. So maybe things will happen in the like next few weeks. But I guess it really has to do about that. There were quite a bunch of clashes like a year ago during like around the presidential election, of course. In some cases around the candidacy of Éric Zemmour, but nothing that huge. The I guess the last major event I can recall right now was from like last summer, when an anti-fascist group claimed an attack against the Action Française, which is like a very old royalist group. They published a video and it's basically a group of anti-fascist militants attacking at night some like far-right militants at a like a camp. Mm-hmm. The images are actually quite impressive, but other than that, the last major clashes opposing groups, I mean large groups of anti-fascist militants to large groups of far-right militants, I'd say were around the Yellow Vest movements, which now, I mean, it was like late 2018, early, I mean, it went on for a while, but most of the clashes were like in early 2019. So it's already been quite a while now.
Yeah, that was a really incredible time there. Like, it's a shame it didn't really do a lot, unfortunately, other than get people very injured. But Macron will Macron. So this book will be out soon, right? What would you say people get from this? Why should people read this book?
Well, so it will be out on March 24th in France. I hope to have it translated one day, but at least in late March it will be out in French. And I'd say the whole thing about this book is actually looking into who really are, I guess, the Antifa. Because in France, as I've mentioned, This term Antifa has been going on around so much since 2013, with like so many like fantasies. I mean, it's with it being linked to so many different fantasies, and actually, I guess no one or very, very few people actually knowing and saying, I mean, knowing who anti-fascist militants really are and saying things that more or less at least reflects the reality of this whole scene, this whole movement. And what I've managed to do throughout this investigation is actually to get access to a very, very wide range of different groups all across France, and an important number of militants. I've interviewed more than 70 militants for this work, and actually just ask them like, who are you? What's your story? How did you come into being an anti-fascist militant? What does it mean? What role does violence play in your militancy and all that? And I think they've or at least I hope they've answered most of them in quite an honest way. And I hope that my work really depicts, I'd say, mostly the last 10 years of anti-fascism militancy in France and who all these people that are, I mean, that the media and the political figures so often talk about in such like in such biased ways. I hope I've really managed to depict really who they are and what they're about.
Yeah, and I would say anyone listening, I'm personally a big fan of your work, man, and I really hope there is an English translation because I am not fucking learning French as much as I do want to read it. But I know we have a lot of French listeners, and I definitely hope people pick this book up. What's the title? Sorry, what's the title of the book?
So the title in French is Une vie de lutte plutôt qu'une minute de silence. It will be out on March 24 at the Édition du Seuil. And basically the title is a slogan that was created to commemorate the death of Clément Méric, which basically translates into something as like a lifetime of struggle rather than a minute of silence. So yeah.
Right. And what was the kind of attitude or the kind of background of the people you spoke to? You said you spoke to over 70 militants there, people from anti-fascist action groups, taking it upon themselves to, you know, fight back against fascism, which is commendable no matter where you're from. But was there any kind of, did you notice any patterns? You know, did you notice, okay, this is why this person got into it. This makes sense. Or was it all different?
I'd say there are like some general tendencies. Of course, yeah. Everyone has like a very different like personal history and all that. But I'd say there are a few tendencies that I've managed to identify. I think the first thing that's actually quite interesting is the age of the militants that I've met. Mm. At least I think in the like the way people and anti-fascist militants are often depicted in media is like some way along the figure of Clément Méric. As I've said, he was 18 when he was killed. So I guess there's this whole idea that anti-fascist militants are usually like students, very young. In some ways quite naive or not very, probably not very smart and all of that. And the thing is, the militants I've met were 28 years old with a range. I mean, the youngest one I've met was 19. And the oldest one I met was, I think, like 60-something, 62 or 63. So I think the first interesting thing to notice is actually that most of them were either in their late 20s or in their 30s, whereas one would think, and I guess myself beforehand, I would have thought that some, or at least that more of them would be younger. And then regarding like who they are and what like the reasons that have brought them to anti-fascist militancy, I'd say some of the like common trends. Some do have like a personal link through their family to at least like left-wing militancy, mm-hmm. Some did mention links through their like grandparents and all that to their resistance in France, fighting wow. the Nazis and all that. Not that many, but like a few.
Yeah.
So that was one common trait. Quite a bunch of them have also gotten into anti-fascism through underground like musical scenes and all of that that used to be quite big in the like 80s, 90s that have been declining since then. But quite a bunch of the like militants that I've met that were in their like late 30s started to learn about anti-fascism and all that by attending like concerts and various events linked to various subcultural scenes. And I guess the last common trait, which links to what I was saying about how old most anti-fascist militants are, is the fact that major social movements, especially the one against the Loi Travail in 2016, have brought many, many people at that time who were probably students onto the streets. Quite a bunch took part in all these cortèges de tête and all these like clashes against the police, which, to put it very simply, started to like radicalize them and made them realize that that getting organized and being part of like militant groups is important. And of course, and it's that I guess it's also the reason why I've mentioned it, started like talking about this and why the title of my books refer to Clément Méric. I mean, basically every single militant I've met throughout this work has mentioned Clément Méric and his death as like a key moment in understanding how they began to hear about anti-fascism, how they began to to in some way relate to Clément Méric, because quite a bunch of the people I've met were roughly the same age as he was back then, and all of that. So I guess, I mean, really the death of Clément Méric in 2013 really plays a key role in understanding the anti-fascist movement in France, the various anti-fascist groups, and the way they've evolved since then.
I really do want to read this. I look forward to meeting up and talking about it as well, because personally, I kind of learned over the last year, especially when I was kind of, we were touring the Frontline Hooligan documentary we made about the anti-fascist hooligans in Ukraine that are now fighting Russia. I kind of learned that anti-fascist action is very much alive and well across the whole of Europe. And there were parts of me that just felt like it had died. It had become this kind of lifestyleism. It had been turned into just mush because, I don't know, just like, oh, let's cancel people on the internet crowd kind of really thought that they were in control. But then I realized, actually, you know, meeting groups like in Hamburg, like, I mean, it's funny, a lot of the most serious German anti-fascists are actually communists, you know, whereas in other countries it's usually anarchists or I guess autonomists as well. But it was really interesting to see that actually, like, this is alive and well all across Europe, and they're big, very serious international links in all different countries with these groups. Did you find that France was a part of that? And I asked because France was one of the few countries that, like, no one had links to, you know, like, we were trying to do, I was talking to the hooligans when we did the we put on an event with the anti-fascist football hooligans in Hamburg, and I was like, hey man, I really want to do, like, you know, a French screening. I know, you know, for all the hooligans, they have these very kind of internal friendships with all different groups. And he was like, yeah, like, I know one group, I'm trying to reach out to them, but no one's really getting back to me. And other people I spoke to, it seemed that France is almost, not on its own, but, you know, it was kind of not a part of that. I don't know, but that's just me from a very anecdotal point of view through that various thing I was doing last year. Did you see that there were international links with the French groups?
So I'd say that they are a few international links, but they're, like, very, very limited.
Right, yeah.
So I guess the ones that are, I mean, that do exist and that are, like, sort of, like, active or sort of matter, there are a few links to groups in Switzerland, and there are a few links to groups in Germany, especially the groups based in Strasbourg, so in the east of France, both the Jeune Garde Strasbourg and the Action Fasciste Strasbourg. Both of these groups do have links to, yeah, groups in Switzerland and Geneva, but also in Basel, I think, and yeah, a few like Swiss groups, and they do also have a few links to anti-fascist and leftist organizations in, I'd say, like, the south of Germany.
Yeah.
But it's quite limited. I mean, what these links really are, it's just the fact that whenever there's, like, a major anti-fascist protest in Geneva, like, maybe a small group of, like, five French anti-fascists would go there to attend. And then the same way when there's, like, a major event in France, in Paris or Strasbourg or whatever, a small group of maybe, like, 10 like, Swiss or German anti-fascist militants would attend. It's really not that big. There are also a few, but also very limited links to Spain, to Madrid, for instance, also in Italy, in Roma, but that's also linked to the fact that anti-fascist militants were killed in these countries over the last, like, decade. So whenever there are, like, events to commemorate their death, such as the death of Dax in Spain, in Madrid, I think, a few guys from, like, Action Fasciste by Banlieue and maybe other groups would go there. But yeah, all these international links are actually quite limited in France.
Interesting. Okay, mate, I really look forward to the book. Congratulations, by the way. You've been, as long as I've known you, which is like 5 years now, since Popular Front began, you've been hammering this this beat. And I really think this is great that you got this going, man. So I really hope people go out and buy the book. Where can people contact you if they want to, you know, talk to you about the book, help spread it, you know, all of that?
Well, I guess the easiest way is just through Twitter. So if you either look for my full name, which is Sébastien Bourdon, Bourdon is like B-O-U-R-D-O-N, you'll find me quite easily. Or I think my handle is Seb_Bourdon. And yeah, you can reach out. My DMs are open, I think. So you can reach out through Twitter if you want to talk or have any question or whatever. And I guess the book will be quite widely available anywhere in France from March 24. So yeah.
All right, man. Thank you very much. I'm going to shout you next time I'm in France. But good luck with everything.
Well, thanks for having me.
Cheers, man. That was journalist Sébastien Bourdon speaking about his time reporting from inside the various militant anti-fascist networks inside France, and how the killing of Clément Méric 10 years ago has spurred on many of these movements and consolidated them into something a lot more organized. To support us and to get yourself lots and lots of extra content that you won't find anywhere else, go to patreon.com/popularfront. We're trying to make a lot more documentaries this year, trying to go a lot further afield. Some very unique documentaries planned that no one else has done. To do that, we need to keep things funded. And as you know, we do not accept corporate sponsorship or any fucking corporate bugmen type freaks into our organization. So support us, patreon.com/popularfront. The more we make there, the more we can put out. Ask anybody. That is definitely how it's been going. We'll be 5 years old in May. Hopefully this year can be the biggest yet. Thank you to our sponsors. They are Oracle Coffee Shop in Portland, Oregon, USA. They're an independent coffee business selling only fair trade products. See them at 3875 South West Bond Avenue, 97239. Also, thank you to Grindcore House, a pair of independent coffee shops in Philadelphia, USA, one in South, one in West. You can find them on social media at Grindcore House. And thank you to Propagandopolis, an outlet selling and writing about historical conflict propaganda from around the world. You can buy prints at propagandopolis.com. Use a promo code PopularFront10 for 10% off. You can also buy merch at our shop, popularfront.shop. If you want to follow us on social media, Twitter at popularfront_, Instagram at popular.front, TikTok at popular.front, YouTube, watch our documentaries, please. That's the main thing. Watch and share our documentaries. YouTube.com/popularfront. Check us out there. For all our links, go to popularfront.cc. You'll just see all the links there. Music in this episode, the intro was by Home and the outro was by Sam Black. Check out Sam's music at samblackpf.com. He has control of the Spotify. So if you're asking Jay, why haven't you uploaded more of Sam's music to Spotify? Message Sam, bully him into doing it if you want to hear it up there. Remember, a lot of the stuff, some of it we've used has uncleared samples, so we can't put it up there, but a lot of the stuff doesn't. So yeah, get on to Sam, samblackpf.com. Thank you very much to the high tier Patreons. They are Viola Forvel, Christian Bustamante, Mike Jones, Britt Richardson, Victor Villa, Daniel Verdin, Margosha, Rohan Irvine, Titus Perkins, Ryan Barbadillo, VS, Brian R, Bradley Hope, Wizard Actual, Claire Hofbauer, Benjamin Tupper, Chongus Bongwater, Siddhartha O, Damien, Cameron Collins, Nicholas Blomberg, Matthew Diffley, Claire, Liana, Robert, Sean Christianovich, NTHG, Arturo Rafael Macias, Ethan Zwick, Kefir is the Mind Killer, Elise Middlefair, David McManus, Tom Petrie, James Leons, Bradley Davies, Brendan Crave, B, RX, Ben Marshall, Dallas Dunn, LD50 Seattle, K Glitter Vulcan, Adam H, Derivative Fool, Bottle of Water, Larson 8669, Bjorn Kirsten, DS, Michael O'Connor, Jack Doherty, Nicholas Butter, JD, Jav, James Cully, Tynan Daly, Ethan, Shanklin the Painter, Fitz Madrid, Ed Coulthard, D-San, Mike Barone, Ben, Chris Cusimano, DZA, Giorgio Arani, DR, Amy R, Rubicon, Frank Austin, Amelia Mee, Christina Rivetti, Freya Northman, Nebur, Noah, Andrew Hurley, Vida Provost, Brian McLaughlin, Tom Loughran, Young Wasabi, Tony Bin, JL, Stephen Davila, Dan Dunham, Chad Walker, Lawrence Abrahams, Peter McCormick from What Bitcoin Did, Christopher Martin, Ryan Sandercock, and Moritz Zumbul. Thank you all so much. If you want to keep this going, patreon.com/popularfront or patreon.co/support. Cheers.